Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Wow, can't believe it's already hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, hour two, of course, we want to hear from you. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com. And right now we're going to pot up the mic. That's because we're going to bring our producer, Shay Raftus, who is providing the helping hand on this Friday night. He is a college football junkie, and I know he is fired up about Clemson A&M. That's a 6 o'clock Central Time kickoff. No pressure on Jimbo Fisher. This is probably, Shay, I would say his biggest test in College Station.
Yeah, I mean, some of that or Northwestern State, who they had before. And this is there's a lot of interesting dynamics at play here. First off, yes, A&M, you know, this is a huge test for him. And A&M is one of the toughest places to play in the country. I would put it up there with places like Penn State, Wisconsin, LSU at night as far as home environments and the noise level that goes on at Kyle Field. But Jimbo actually is pretty experienced as facing Clemson. He played Clemson every year at Florida State. So the one thing A&M does have in this game going for him is that Jimbo knows Clemson's personnel very well. And so I think that's an advantage for them going into this game, playing at home against one of the top two or three teams in the country.
What did you see from Jimbo Fisher from week one?
I like what they did. And again, it's really early on. It's hard to tell because Northwestern State is so bad. As an offensive mind, he brings a different voice to the room. You know, A&M has kind of been up and down in that sense. They look great one week, under someone the next, they didn't so much. Getting some consistency. He's won national titles as an offensive coordinator at LSU and then also as a head coach at Florida State. So he's got that pedigree. The question is, can he get it done at A&M? I'm not sure, but he's got the background to do that. The question is, will he be able to in the tough SEC West?
Okay, Clemson, Texas A&M, of course, Georgia, South Carolina. This looks to be an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, Georgia, South Carolina is very intriguing. I think the theme, and I think both these games will be closer than people think and a little bit more low scoring than people think because these are tough early environments. Again, Muschamp has a lot of familiarity with Kirby Smart. And they've coached against each other for a long time in the SEC. I think both of the favorites win, but both the underdog will cover the spread, and it will be low scoring. So expect low scoring, close games in both. But I expect the favorites to come out on top and pass tough road tests.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, my eye will be on OU UCLA, Oklahoma favored by 30. That, of course, Shay Raftus joining us here, hour two, SB Nation Radio. You want to stay close? We've got some great guests coming your way.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And before we get underway with our next segment, always love to connect with all of our listeners out there. Twitter at @eradiosports. You can always go back and listen to each and every one of our interviews at podcastarena.com and email the show at info@eradiosports.com. As a reminder, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is hard to believe we are in the home stretch of the PGA season as it is starting to wind down. Every tournament takes on increased importance, and the pressure, it is starting to build. And there's a number of players that we are keeping a close watch on. And tonight we have invited Dr. Gio Valiente. He is a sports psychologist, mental game consultant to some of the PGA's hottest players. He is also an author, and it's a true pleasure, Dr. Valiente, to have you on the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Elisa. It's wonderful to be here.
Okay, I talk about in the Open how every tournament takes on increased importance. What is some of the advice that you are giving players so they can finish the season strong and on a positive note?
I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's a Ryder Cup year as well. So when Ryder Cup is in play, you know, we're rolling out of, you know, the four majors, which is what we try to peak for on the PGA Tour, right into the FedEx Cup, which requires, you know, escalating levels of importance with each passing week. But I tend to work with most of the top players in the game who then also have to find the mental resources to try to prepare for the Ryder Cup. So, you know, what we're really trying to do at this time of the year is pace ourselves. You know, people don't understand the grind of the PGA Tour. These guys show up on Monday, they practice all day Tuesday, practice all day Wednesday, and then play 4 days in a row. And they'll do this for 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row. So assume that you're walking 12 miles a day, swinging golf clubs, getting in the gym for 6 weeks in a row. It's a grind. So our goal is to keep ourselves not only physically but also mentally sharp at the end of the year.
Well, one of the guys that has embraced that opportunity and is sharp and enduring the grind is Brooks Koepka. I mean, he has just been sensational in 2018. Wins the PGA Championship title, holds off Tiger Woods. And, you know, there's so much talk about him being, you know, his power off the tee, Dr. Geo, and he's the ultimate ball striker. But what about his mental toughness and his ability to close out tournaments?
Yeah, there's a bit of a running joke on tour. We call him a little bit like the bully of the PGA Tour. And not that he's a bully in real life. He's really a lovely guy. But, you know, he's so imposing when he's driving it well. I mean, he looks like an NFL safety or more like a linebacker. He hits it so far. And he's got a great poker face. You know, he doesn't give you a whole lot. And so, you know, the more interesting thing about Brooks is he's only won 4 times, and 3 of them have been major championships, which are the hardest to win. And so he's a really interesting interesting psychological study because, you know, he can elevate his game and there's really no ceiling for him. It's just a whether or not he's motivated by the other 45 PGA Tour events a year because, you know, what has shown is that whatever gets his attention, he plays at a very, very high level.
You know, Dr. Geo, I mean, what's your takeaways in terms of how Brooks Koepka has mastered the mental game? Because when you watch him, you know, his demeanor out there, you know, he never panics. And he just seems to control his emotions at all times with each shot.
Yeah, well, I worked with Brooks when he was in college at Florida State University, so I know him pretty well. And one of the things that people don't know about Brooks is Brooks had considered quitting golf several times.
Wow.
You know, during his developmental years after college and before all of his success. And I don't say that as a negative. I say that as a positive because, you know, this game, the mental toll it takes on people, it wears a lot of players out mentally and they just can't endure. You know, these are people with wives and children and bills to pay. And if you don't play well on the PGA Tour, you don't get paid. There are very few guaranteed contracts. And the toll it takes on these young men, they travel all over the world, and they're literally playing for their livelihood. It's basically an eat-what-you-kill mentality. And so it really questions your self-belief and your endurance and your mental toughness. So for him to go, you know, 4 or 5 years ago from thinking about leaving the game to the absolute summit of golf shows what he's made of in terms of the fortitude and the toughness and the competitiveness that he has.
World-renowned mental game consultant Dr. Geo Valiente is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. I'd love to hear from you this evening. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. We've talked a lot tonight about Brooks Koepka. The spotlight is on him, Geo. How do today's players deal with the high expectations after winning a major championship? Because everything's changed for him, and now you have to deal with, you know, people's expectations of you. And you want to be, as a player, you've got to still be able to go out and execute shots and play with freedom and ultimately deliver those winning results.
Yeah, you know, there are two factors into that, Elisa. One of them is, you know, the mental part of the game is somewhat binary. You know, I write in my books about the difference between mastery golf versus ego golf, essentially playing the game for the sake of the game or conversely playing the game, you know, for the approval of others, for the recognition and approval. And what you come to realize is the game of golf is very punishing for people who play ego golf because of the ebbs and flows and the variability that's built into results. So that's hard all by itself, but it makes it even harder. And I've coached you know, now almost three generations of golfers. And golfers of the prior two generations did not have to grow up in the world of social media. And, you know, a lot of my golfers, and forget my golfers, a lot of athletes, professional athletes nowadays, are having really a difficult time coping with their sense of identity and confidence and the fulfillment that comes with sport while also living in social media. And let me tell you, there are a lot of very, very mean people out in the world who, you know, unsolicited say a lot of really mean things to these guys, and they forget that they're human beings and that their parents read it and their friends read it and they read it. And it's really unfortunate. I know we have freedom of the media and freedom of expression. We don't want to do anything to stifle that. But just on a human level, I just wish some of these people would be a little kinder.
You're listening to The Voice. Dr. Gio Valiente is with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, mental game consultant, has covered the biggest and the best on the PGA Tour. And I want you to speak to our audience tonight. Give them some mental tips on how our listeners can overcome adversity on the golf course. And put that ego, leave it at home, right?
Well, that's one of them.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I've worked not only obviously with maybe hundreds, but certainly dozens of professional golfers, but hundreds of amateur golfers. And there are a few things that you can focus on that will help the amateur player, you know, play better. Number one, it's a simple question. The question is, what's my target? Before every shot, if you simply ask yourself that question, what's my target? Mm-hmm. And then you focus on a very specific target, there's a better chance you're going to hit a good shot at the target, because our brain is designed to react to targets. So don't get caught up in your golf swing. Just get caught up in picking targets. Number two, monitor your grip pressure. One of the things we know is that when golfers experience stress or embarrassment or frustration on the golf course, they tend to grip the club tighter. So it starts out with psychological stress and frustration, shows up in a tighter grip pressure, which leads to that big block miss out to the right. So I always tell my golfers, soft hands. So number one, pick a target. Number two, soft hands. Make sure you play with soft hands. And finally, number three, have fun. You know, most golfers think that they'll enjoy their day if they score well. Like the deal they make with themselves in their minds, if I play well, then I'll be happy. But the reverse should be true. If you go out and your goal is just to have an enjoyable day, there's a better chance you're actually going to play well. So flip that equation on its head. Don't go in there saying, I'm going to shoot a good score and then I'll be happy. And if I don't play well, then I'm not going to be happy. Flip that equation on its head and make sure you go out there and your goal is to have fun.
And in that pre-shot routine, you got to breathe, right? Exhale, deep cleansing breath. Keep
those
muscles loose.
That's part of the fearless golf routine that I build into all my clients.
Absolutely. Hey, give a shout out. I know it's been a couple of years, but some of the books that you have produced, and so our listeners can go out there at Amazon.com and get a copy.
First book is Fearless Golf. It's been translated now into seven languages.
Nice.
It's become a real beacon in the world of golf. And the second one is a study of what happens mentally when golfers are in the zone. It's called golf flow. It's called a flow state. So Fearless Golf and Golf Flow.
And, of course, you can check out Dr. Gio Valiente on the Golf Channel. He does it all. And a true pleasure. First time on the program, and we're all about mental tips on how to overcome bad shots on the golf course. You provided some great information tonight. Thank you so much, Dr. Gio.
Great, Elisa. Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We're so glad you're with us right here at the next generation of sports radio. Many different ways to connect with us. Of course, at Twitter, at eradiosports. You can always email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. We always like to take time to recognize the folks that power us here at our network, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, indeed, it is week two of the college football season. We've got much more to recap and preview. Right now, we are going to zero in and narrow our focus on Michigan. They are coming off a disappointing loss to Notre Dame in week one, did not take care of business. And we are delighted to have with us tonight, that is Tom Van Herren, ESPN college football reporter, recruiting reporter, and author of his new book. It is a must read. Our good friends at Triumph Books have hooked us up with another dandy. It is titled The Road to Ann Arbor, and it's a true pleasure to have with us tonight, Tom Van Herren. Good evening.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to finally talk football. It's finally here and discuss the book. I'm excited about both, so thank you for having me on.
We're very excited and honored to have you on our program tonight. First things first, before we take a deep dive into your book, I know our listeners are anxious to hear about that, but what in the world happened in that game against Notre Dame? That was a flat performance, right?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting offseason for Michigan fans. I think landing quarterback Shea Patterson probably produced a lot of excitement, a lot of hope for this season because of what happened last season with seemingly a carousel at quarterbacks in Michigan with injuries to Wilton Spate, going through John O'Korn and then back to Brandon Peters. It was some hope for them at the quarterback position. And I think this game against Notre Dame, it showed that there are still some holes within that offense, particularly along the offensive line. We saw Shea Patterson sacked. He had to scramble. Notre Dame's defense, I thought, did an outstanding job bringing pressure against them. I went back and rewatched some of the offensive snaps, and it looked like Michigan really struggled, especially with the tackles on the outside, left tackle and right tackle. When Notre Dame either brought blitzes or the defensive line stunted and it wasn't a traditional four-man rush, it looked like Michigan's offensive line had a lot of struggles, and we saw it early on in the game. Looked like they settled down a little bit. The defense settled down as well and produced some results later in the half. But, you know, that first half and really even that first quarter for Notre Dame, I think it was just too much, and it was something that Michigan maybe didn't expect from that defense.
ESPN College Football and Recruiting reporter Tom Van Herren with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. He can also add another title to his name, of course, author, his brand new book that is out. We encourage you to get a copy, The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Michigan Recruiting Trail. A fascinating read. You're going to want to hear about that. But talk to me about, as far as what has been the message, Coach Harbaugh, what's been the focus this week at practice to try to right the ship?
Well, there's no panic for them. And I think, you know, all the questions that he's received about the outcome of that game, I think from the fans there was some panic. But Harbaugh is staying stoic and saying that they're seeing improvements, especially along the offensive line. Like I mentioned, a lot of the questions were there at how that group needs to improve. And he said he saw improvement. He said he's going to stick with that offensive line going forward. They've got a game this week against Western Michigan, which I think they're probably looking at that as a game where they can regroup, try to right the ship and try to get back on track. Because as Harbaugh said, their goals are still ahead of them. Notre Dame's not a conference opponent, so they can still have a successful Big Ten season. But I think that's the main takeaway that I've taken from a lot of the questions that Harbaugh has received, that they're not panicking. They see in practice that there's some improvement, and I think they're going to take this as a learning tool and try to apply it to the rest of the season and move forward.
Okay, so when we talk about Michigan, give us your assessment, Tom, in terms of how talented is this roster that Harbaugh has and the confidence that they can have a big year and finish strong.
Yeah, I do think it's a good team, and I do think Shea Patterson makes them a lot better. I don't know that he's the savior, you know, like a lot of fans were hoping that he would be, but I also don't know that he needs to be that. You know, I mentioned the offensive line a lot because I think that's probably where everybody's looking at right now, is that's where the main improvement needs to come from. They brought in new offensive line coach Ed Warner. They're hoping that that's going to improve the fundamentals, the line in general, the whole group, but you know, I look at it, as you mentioned when we first started, I cover college football, but I also cover recruiting. And so I look to that aspect as well. And when I look at a roster, I tend to go back in recruiting and look at what they've done in recruiting. And I think that the tackle positions, especially for Michigan, have been something that I've been looking at for a couple of years now. And if you go back and look at Michigan's recruiting classes since Jim Harbaugh has gotten here, I think that's one area, as well as they've recruited, they've done a really, really good job. But I think that's one area where they haven't landed that elite left tackle prospect, that big 6'7", 290-pound tackle that can anchor that side. And they've had some bad luck, too, with Grant Newsom. He was injured severely, and now he's taken a medical retirement. He was their left tackle, so that's a little bit unlucky. But I think, for me, I look at recruiting that position specifically. I think they need to improve there. to push this roster to the next level.
Okay, the Wolverines last year 8-5, and this is what Jim Harbaugh's his fourth season. How much better can they be? I mean, do you think they're going to get 10 wins this year?
Yeah, that's a tough question because this schedule now, this season is so difficult, and everybody's talking about that. You know, they obviously opened up with Notre Dame, which is proving to be a tough opponent. They have to play Nebraska. We don't know what Nebraska is going to look like because their game got canceled. New coach Scott Frost could change that offense. Northwest, they've got to play at Northwestern. They're going to play Wisconsin at Michigan State, then Penn State. They have to go through Ohio State in Columbus. I think 9 wins is probably where I'd put them. Judging off of this first week, I think if we see some improvements over these next 3 weeks, especially starting with that game against Nebraska and Northwestern, then maybe we can start to really get a good glimpse of what this team could be. But right now, after that, I think maybe I would settle at maybe 9 wins.
Tom Van Herren with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We're all familiar with your work. ESPN College Football and Recruiting Reporter. He does an amazing job. Author of his brand new book, The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Michigan Recruiting Trail. And I have to share with you, I mean, I'm a big fan. I love Jim Harbaugh. I just, you know, appreciate all that he does. But there's been some scrutiny with him. You know, is it fair?
Yeah, I don't know that it's fair.
Okay.
You know, I think I go back and look at when he was hired, and I remember when he was hired, we were actually out at the Under Armour All-America game. And so we were with some, I was with some of the top prospects, some of the top recruits in the country at that game. And when that was announced, I remember going around to a lot of the kids and saying, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I think they had probably a more balanced viewpoint and opinion than the fans did. That a lot of the recruits were saying, I'm excited. He's a great coach. I think he'll do a great job for Michigan, but I got to see it on the field first. And I got to see results before I get real excited about it. Whereas the fans were thinking, okay, we've got a coach who made it to the Super Bowl. We have a coach who brought Stanford back. This is a guy who's going to push us to that next level right away. We're going to go, you know, we're going to hit the ground running and get after it. So I think maybe some of the expectations were a little lofty as to what he could do, given what he inherited. A team that had a losing record and a team that he needed to really bring back to the forefront in terms of the actual program and branding and marketing. You know, we saw a lot of the efforts that he did when he first got there with the camps, the satellite camps that he went around into the southern states just to try to get Michigan's name back into the forefront with a lot of these prospects. I think he had a lot of work to do. I think he had a lot more work to do than people realized in the beginning. So I don't think the criticism yet is fair. Like I said before, I want to see what happens with this season. I want to see how this team improves. I think some of the coaching changes that they've made with Sherrone Moore, the tight ends coach, Ed Warner, the offensive line coach, they added Al Washington for defensive linemen. I think some of those were really good moves. So I want to wait and see what happens this season. I think if after this season this team is still not showing a lot of improvement, then maybe we can start that criticism up. But I think it's still a little early for that.
Okay, let's shift gears. Tom Van Herren with us tonight, ESPN College Football Recruiting Reporter. And right now we're going to talk about his new book, The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Michigan Recruiting Trail. What can our listeners look forward to when they open it up?
Well, this was an exciting book for me because covering recruiting so closely, a lot of times I hear a lot of the same stories, you know, and I know a lot about what's happening. And so when I heard some of these stories for the first time, it was something new and something that I hadn't even heard. And the book tells the story of 12 former, the recruiting stories of 12 former Michigan football players and 2 current players. And what I tried to do with it was to make the stories fresh and new. I went pre-internet and pre-recruiting services, stories that hadn't been told by the recruiting services yet. So I go all the way back to 1968 and tell the recruiting story of Reggie McKenzie, an All-American offensive lineman. We have Jim Harbaugh, Tom Brady, Chad Henne, Tim Diakabatuka. Some of the biggest names that have come through Michigan are in this book. And what I really tried to do was I tried to make it a full reported story. So a lot of times when we cover this stuff, in covering recruiting, I know that the whole story does not come from one source. So I talked to the player, a family member from the player, a Michigan coach, an opposing coach, to give them the full picture of the whole story of what actually happened, and really, in a lot of cases, how Michigan's history was almost changed.
Mm-hmm. And you know, college football, it has certainly changed. Recruitment has changed so much over the years. We've been visiting with Tom Van Haren, college football recruiting reporter for ESPN. We are flat out of time. Tom, we are going to extend another invitation to have you back and take a deeper dive into his brand new book. I'm going to be posting this on my Twitter feed. It is titled The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Michigan Recruiting Trail. It is a compelling read. You definitely want to pick up a copy. Congratulations, Tom. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. As always, we've got to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us here at SB Nation. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is week two of the college football season, and it is time to highlight the defending national champion, the number one team of the country, and that is the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama easily handled Louisville in their season opener in a dominating fashion, and we are so delighted to have back with us the golden voice of college football. He is the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the legendary Eli Gold, who is in his third decade as the voice of Alabama and has called the action of every football game since 1989. Good evening, Eli, and welcome back.
Well, thank you. Good to be back. And I will tell you that it's a good thing, and I say this with all due respect, it's a good thing you're talking to me and not Coach Saban.
Because oh, yes.
when you said the voice of the defending national champion, he will quickly point out to you that the University of Alabama as an entity is the reigning national champion, but the team is not the defending, because the team that won the national title a year ago is gone.
Yeah.
That team is scattered to the National Football League, to the Canadian League, to wherever else they might be, or they've gone off to private business. And the coach says, this isn't the defending team. That team no longer exists. So it's an interesting word of semantics, certainly, but obviously this year's team, as good as it seems to be, is a totally different unit than won the national title with the win over Georgia back in January.
Yeah, well, the Crimson Tide, they just continue to reload. They've got the recruiting. It's going on. But, you know, for Alabama fans, you guys have got to be so encouraged by the play, the production, you know, from last week's win against Louisville. You've had the opportunity to review the numbers from the game. What were your takeaways? What did you learn?
Well, I think talking strictly numbers, the story that jumped out at me is that Alabama held Louisville to just 16 yards. That's 1-6, 16 yards on the ground. And if I'm not mistaken, 12 of those yards came after the first team was no longer out there defensively for Alabama. So the first unit held the Cardinals to like 4 yards rushing. And what makes that, obviously, it's a crazy number to start with. But there was so much concern going in about all the defenders who had left that championship team and are now on NFL rosters. Everybody knew that Alabama's defense this year was very talented, but everybody also knew that there was relatively little experience, particularly in the secondary, where everybody was gone for the most part. So you just didn't know going in. I think everybody also realized that regardless of who the quarterback was going to be, that it was a very talented offensive unit, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and an offensive line that lost only one starter to the National Football League. Everybody knew that the offense was going to be, or had the potential to be, very potent. But there were a lot of concerns, or at least questions, due to the unknown about the defense. And I thought, you know, despite the fact that there were some boo-boos and there were some penalties. You know, there were some mistakes here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought the defense acquitted themselves quite well.
The voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, back with us at the next generation of sports radio, and that is SB Nation Radio. That was one of my questions tonight, Eli. I was going to ask you your assessment of the defense. So let's do some name dropping right now. Who or what were you encouraged by the most, and how good can this defense be?
Well, you know, again, it's young, but Deontay Thompson played very, very well in the secondary. Shaheem Carter had a good game, obviously, with a pick six in the process. Mac Wilson is going to continue to improve, but clearly he is very, very good. The defensive front, everybody knew they were going to be good, led by Raekwon Davis, who was a huge man and an outstanding athlete. So, you know, it's something you want to see improve, Alyssa, week to week to week to week. That's the key to any good organization, any good team. I don't care what league it is. It could be Major League Baseball, game to game, or NFL, whatever. You want to see improvement game to game to game. And, they, you know, the Tide is looking for that tomorrow against an Arkansas State team that obviously doesn't sound like a big opponent, but they have won five of the last seven Sun Belt Conference championships, and they've got a quarterback and an outstanding group of receivers. So, you know, everybody's hoping to see some improvement, fewer penalties, fewer mental mistakes tomorrow than you saw in the game last Saturday.
Of course, Alabama, as Eli had just mentioned, faces Arkansas State. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, just each and every week looking for improvement. Are you optimistic, you know, midway perhaps through the season, that this could be a top five defense nationally with the players and that they have and the skill set that they have?
You never know, Alyssa. I'm not one for guessing and for speculating. I don't know. I will tell you this, that everybody acknowledges the fact that Alabama's defense is made up of exceedingly talented players. Now, how quickly do they, you know, get the experience that they need, and when do they, you know, become not freshmen anymore but closer to being sophomores, you know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, their level of performance. Because, again, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're recruited by an SEC team, whether it's Bama, whether it's Auburn, whether it's whomever, if you're recruited and signed to an SEC team, you're good. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah,
they don't,
right.
These teams around here don't sign, you know, guys who can't play. It's just a matter of how quickly do the repetitions and practice help these guys improve. And I think one of the big advantages that Alabama defense has is that they are working every day in practice against what I do believe at the end of the season will prove out to be one of the best offenses in America. And working against that offense every day in practice can only help make that defense better, more confident, and do it a bit more quickly than not.
Absolutely. That'll help accelerate and develop these guys and move them along. You know, it's interesting, listening to Nick Saban's Monday news conference, he talked about Arkansas State, their fast-paced offense. Could this perhaps cause some problems or some challenges for the Crimson Tide?
It could, you know. You want to, you know, any time you hurry up things like that, against a younger, inexperienced defense, there are certainly issues that can crop up. Is that going to happen tomorrow? Who knows? But, you know, Arkansas State, again, you know, they have been to bowl games on a regular basis. They have won their conference, as I said, on a regular basis five times in the last 7 years. And they are not a bad ball club. So, yes, a fast, aggressive offense can always offer problems to anybody, whether they're an experienced defense or not.
The radio voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, with us tonight. There has been a lot of discussion about the quarterback debate. Tell us a little bit about, as far as Coach Saban's decision to start Tua as opposed to Jalen Hurts. And obviously, Alabama, they're so blessed and fortunate to have two high-caliber quarterbacks in these young men.
Well, you know, the decision to who they started was strictly Coach Saban's. And, you know, he felt that the team would be best served by starting Tua and then bringing in Jalen at a predetermined point. Tua is, you know, both men are outstanding quarterbacks. Jalen is probably the better runner. Tua maybe the better thrower. They are both, however, outstanding quarterbacks. Great young men. The team, their teammates really love them both. So, you know, it's a wonderful somebody. I was doing an interview, interestingly, on a street in Hawaii the other day. And the guy, the interviewer out on the station in Hawaii said, boy, this is a an embarrassment of riches. And I said, well, I don't know about that because nobody around here is embarrassed about it, you know. So it's going to be it's a good team, a good offense. But Tua and Jalen both are outstanding young men and can both contribute.
And, of course, Tua showed us that, just such a strong performance in that game against Louisville. Did he show you why he should be that number one quarterback? Because it sure looked like, Eli, he has not slowed down one bit from that championship performance against Georgia.
Well, certainly the team scored points with Tua at the controls. You know, Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN said that with Tua at quarterback, Alabama could probably score at will. I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, that was what Herbie had to say. There's no question that the team can move with Tua at quarterback, but there's also no question that Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as Alabama's starter. So we're not talking chopped liver there either.
Hey, what are some things, you know, as we look from reflect on game one and now going into game two against Arkansas State, what are some things that that Nick Saban, that he talked about, that he would like for the Crimson Tide to improve upon?
Well, obviously he wants to cut down the penalties.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact number, but, you know, it was right around 100 yards in penalties or something like that. You know, he wants to see guys be a little more consistent. Some of the defenders be a little more consistent. There's always something. You're never satisfied. You never play the perfect game. So I'm sure there are things that he has worked on in practice all week that he hopes to see manifest when they kick it off tomorrow at 2:30 Central Time.
Only have time for one more question. Eli Gold, radio voice, the Alabama Crimson Tide, with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. Let's step back. SEC West, is it the best division in college football? And who will challenge Alabama on a week-to-week basis? It's pretty stout competition.
Well, I do believe that it is the best division in college football. I say that, you know, as an SEC partisan. I'm not going to make any excuses about that. So, you know, I think that's clearly a fair statement. But who's going to challenge Alabama? There's any number of teams in the SEC West that can, on a given day, come on. Look how well LSU played the other day.
Oh, yes. I mean, great point.
There's always potential bumps in the road. So this early in the season, every game is going to be a tough game.
Alabama, Arkansas State, and of course we've had an exclusive interview tonight. Eli Gold, radio voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Always enjoy listening to you on the radio airwaves. You are amazing. Thank you so much, Eli.
My pleasure. Good to be with you as always.
Absolutely. God bless. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, that is SB Nation.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
All right, the Big E Sports Show, it rolls on here, hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I hope all of you enjoyed. Hey, we may be in Texas, but there are some Crimson Tide fans here. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with the radio voice, Eli Gold. Right now, we are going to pot up our mic and listen to the voice of Shea Raftus, our producer, because we're going to shift gears. We've talked a lot about college football, but you know what? It is week one of the NFL season. So, Shea, what say you? What game do you have your eye on Sunday?
I've got a few games. Obviously, as a Browns fan, this is the most intrigue we've had in some time, looking forward to this game against the Steelers. And I think, you know, the question is, you know, Tyrod's going to start, but, you know, if he struggles, how quickly will the Baker calls come? And then second, on the other side for the Steelers, no Le'Veon Bell, it looks like. The contract holdout still continues. So you got the intrigue from the Browns and the quarterback situation there and the hype. And then on the other side, you've got the organization that's been the model organization along with the Patriots and the AFC, the Steelers, who are having internal troubles right now with one of their star players. So there's a lot of fascinating things there, and how that affects the game, I'll be interested to see.
Okay, you talk about the Steelers. Let's zero in and focus on the Browns. Baker Mayfield, he was not named the starter. Was this a wise decision?
It's tough because Tyrod Taylor went to the playoffs last year. He's a solid quarterback. It's not like, you know, Baker... it was clear-cut above him. I think Baker's got the ceiling. I get starting him early, and I'm okay with that as long as they kind of make their way towards Mayfield. I think we need to see a few games out of Taylor before we judge it, but I'm okay with that as of now as long as Mayfield starts getting some snaps later on.
Okay, we got to talk about and take care of the Texan fans. Patriots-Texans, mm-hmm. How do you see this game playing out?
I think it's another high-scoring game. I think New England wins, but Deshaun Watson, that Texans offense, moved the ball great on New England
last
year. It was a great game. I expect another great game up and down. I'll go 35-31 Patriots, but I think the Texans will move the ball on them. And, you know, I'm yet to see. We're not sure if New England can still stop anybody. They struggled all year last year at times. And I think this Texans offense has the ability to be dynamic. High scoring game. It's going to be fun to watch. I think New England wins because they're at home and they've got Brady. But they'll move the ball. Texans will. And I think they'll have a shot to win at the end.
Are you optimistic and excited about the Texans season?
I think they are. The offensive line really, really, really worries me. But we saw Watson was able to negate some of that.
Okay.
So I think there's going to be a cap on what they can do as far as making a playoff run. But I think this is a playoff team if Watson stays healthy. I think it's going to be tough for them to win playoff games. But with the bad offensive line. But I think you have reason to be excited, and hopefully going forward they can fix that issues in the seasons to come. But Watson is the real deal.
And, of course, I'll have my eye on the Cowboy Panthers on Sunday. That, of course, Shea Raft is with us here tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests that joined us. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. Don't drink and drive. So long, everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.